A view of the flight attendant as a young woman. Bruno Barreto's camera tilts down from the sky to a tableau of the adult Donna Jensen, Gwyneth Paltrow, sitting in front of her mother's trailer. The elegance of the camera move almost threatens to distract us from its symbolism. Barreto, working from an Eric Wold screenplay, contrasts the still relevant concepts of up and down with the more esoteric notions of front and behind by directly tying them to physical, observable forms. Up there, sky, lie dreams. Down here, land, lies reality. Donna is sitting on her bottom, behind, in front of a trailer. Behind her, lying on his behind, on a soiled couch, seemingly asleep, is her mom's fourth husband, Pete. This is the bedrock of great directing, translating ideas into images. Donna needs to get off her ass and reach for the sky, or she'll end up here forever. Then, with typical economy, Barreto suggests that Pete, David Hayward, may be drunk. Liquid is often a sign of danger in this film. By directing his actor to turn unsteadily onto his side, thus knocking over an empty beer bottle as well as a plate of recently proffered burgers. As Donna's mom clears up the mess, issuing reproaches under her breath, Donna looks on ruefully. Perhaps this isn't the first time she has seen this tableau. Donna turns her head back towards the lens and gazes out. Note the direction she wants out of Silver Springs, her expression unmistakably sad or bored or perhaps tired. But Barreto is not so foolish as to rely on the communicative capacity of the human face. He cleverly reinforces the moment with a clarifying line of voiceover. I still had my mind on a different life, beyond Silver Springs. Cut to Donna making out with high school quarterback Tommy Boulay, Marc Blucas, during an American football match underneath some stadium-style tiered seating. Here, in contrast to when we last saw her, Donna seems animated and full of zest. In fact, she tells us in voiceover that Boulay was a great kisser. But this potentially rich seam has not developed. It's a rare misstep and in fact makes me wonder, one, why Boulay is such a good kisser, and two, why is Donna assessing Boulay's performance in what is meant to be an intimate act of non-judgment? In any case, the result is that I'm briefly bounced out of the film and a strange sadness drifts through my body. However, Tommy Boulay looks as if his mind is elsewhere. It is unclear whether his evident worry is due to the exploratory force of Donna's tongue, ambivalence over their relationship, or whether he's due back on the field. In voiceover, Donna tells us that she knew that, together, they were going places. References to motion abound in Donna's commentary. Here, the film seems to ask whether going places is the same as going to a place. The first is a perpetual cycle. Sisyphus is going places. It's just that the route is quite up and down. An assistant manager at Big Lots, Boulay uses his pull to get Donna a job in the baggage department. Big Lots, Inc. is a large-scale American retail company incorporated in the state of Ohio with over 1,400 outlets in 48 states. They are essentially department stores specializing in closed-out or overstocked merchandise, and while it has a proud history stretching back to 1967, when Consolidated Stores Corporation was formed in Ohio by Sol Schenck, we get the impression that Donna Jensen's dreams extend beyond working in Big Lots. But what are we meant to feel about the other employees of Big Lots? Do their lives not have value? Are they not, as the film posits, going places? Cinema helps us to remember that although we all have the right to shine, some of us must shine in the background, out of focus, and not too brightly. It's also to the film's credit that the motif of Donna working in the baggage department while working through her own baggage never feels arch, but merely thematically on point. Interestingly, there is no indication as to whether Donna targeted Boulay in order to get the job, or whether the job opportunity was a stroke of serendipity post-hookup. The idea of Paltrow working in retail might sound like a sour note from a less seasoned throat than Barreto's. Barreto brought us the non-murder dramedy One Tough Cop, a film that cast Stephen Baldwin, who alternates between a pout that says thinking is hard and the smile of a post-poo baby basking in gooey relief, as an Italian-American. A director brave enough to do this is just the man to cast Paltrow as a girl from a trailer park. A born contrarian, Barreto takes a cliché crime scene in which a cop asks, what kind of animal would do this? And instead of subverting it, surprises you by not subverting it at all. Had One Tough Cop been directed by a lesser man, he might not have had the courage to include the line, and then my flashlight takes a shit on me, without having someone laugh straight after it. But Barreto lets it stand, and as a result gives the words terrifying power. Maybe, we think, this policeman's flashlight actually did shit on him. No wonder he's so rattled. If his flashlight took a shit on him, he would be forgiven for wondering what other improbable things might take a shit on him in the short to medium term. For such a man, sleep would be a memory. Another director might say, no, we can't have a scene every 5 minutes in which the hot-tempered cop is dragged screaming from a fight by the even-tempered cop. No, we can't do all our exposition in bars. No, we can't have the top brass call the protagonist the best damn cop on the force. No, we can't give his best buddy a gambling problem. No, we can't have a scene where someone is confronted with unpaid parking fines with the line, you've got parking tickets up the ass. No, we can't have his childhood friend go into organized crime. Not Barreto. Barreto says yes to all these things. It is in the unvaried repetition of familiar motifs that Barreto's originality lies. At first glance, Paltrow looks like she wouldn't set foot in Big Lots, even if it were the only viable place to shelter from acid rain. She hates conventional retail so much, she's set up her own company to filter out anything non-bespoke and named it after what Stephen Baldwin's smile seems to be wallowing in. Goop. For Paltrow to enter an establishment without being offered ionized cucumber water is unthinkable. But it is Barreto's job to make us think the unthinkable. His camera cranes down, high slash low versus up slash down, as Donna extols the virtue of a particular piece of luggage to a customer, nylon twill with DuPont protective coating. This is the bag you use when you fly? Asks the customer, somewhat provocatively. Donna is forced to admit that she's never been on an aeroplane, but if she ever gets a go on one, this is the bag she'd like to take. It's a moving exchange. It subtly reminds us that, thus far at least, her ambition to leave Silver Springs remains unfulfilled. But shortly, two key events will propel her skywards.